fixing roads, bridges, water mains, and American jobs. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama heads to New York's Tappan Zee Bridge today. The crumbling 60-year-old span across the Hudson River will be the backdrop for a speech on America's infrastructure. Barring action from Congress, a federal fund for road, bridge, and transit construction and repair is expected to run dry this August, something the administration argues could cost up to 700,000 jobs. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark breaks down that number.
Sure, there are the crews you see with hard hats who are actually fixing roads and building bridges. But those aren't the only jobs that depend on the so-called Federal Highway Trust Fund. There are also the people who manufacture all that steel and concrete used in the construction. And then there are all the jobs they support, says Robert Puentes of the Brookings Institution.
Everything from the food truck that's getting lunch for them to the guy that's cutting their hair.
The White House's Council of Economic Advisors says if you add all those jobs up, you get about 13,000 jobs for every $1 billion in federal highway and transit investment. The Highway Trust Fund spends more than $50 billion annually on projects, meaning it supports about 700,000 jobs. That's a low estimate, according to research by Standard & Poor's U.S. chief economist Beth Ann Bovino. And she says the thing about those jobs?
A lot of the jobs that are created with infrastructure spending are in the middle class.
Just the kind of jobs we've been mostly missing during the economic recovery. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Cisco Systems, the company that makes the boxes that direct internet data from source to destination, reports its profits today. Now, Cisco's a kind of barometer for the tech industry, and recently the Silicon Valley firm has been investing a lot of money in an ongoing trend that we cover here on Marketplace, the Internet of Things. Conrad Wilson reports.
Cisco is betting big on the Internet of Things. But what is it?
It's pretty much this notion of connecting anything that has an on and off switch.
Jacob Morgan is co-founder of Chess Media Group, a consulting firm that helps organizations understand the future of work. On a very basic level, the idea is to collect data from sensors on things like jet engines, oil rigs, and refrigerators, and use that data to help make decisions. Morgan says it will be several years before the technology really takes hold. And while Cisco is invested in the idea, the Internet of Things is still a difficult concept to sell. Michael Endler is an associate editor with Information Week.
In terms of selling products to people, it may be a little bit trickier because it's such a really big vision. It may be hard to make the benefits obvious to all customers.
For now, the Internet of Things is a long-term strategy for the company. But Cisco says this sector of technology could be worth $19 trillion. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
We now know once disgraced mortgage giant Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have made enough money to hand more than $10 billion back to the U.S. Treasury for last quarter. That's where the U.S. Treasury says it has to go, given the taxpayer bailout 5 years ago. But with all things Fannie and Freddie, this is controversial. Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is senior editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So I remember the Treasury changed the rules about where any profits Fannie Mae would accrue go, and they said it's got to go to the Treasury. That was that rules change when about
15 months ago.
Yet some big players come in, and they just want to buy that Fannie Mae stock.
The biggest player in this is a fellow named Bruce Berkowitz, who runs something called the Fairholme Fund. After this is announced and the stock goes down to like almost nothing, Bruce starts gobbling it up because that's the kind of thing he does because he's very, very good at this and says, you know what? The shareholders have been aggrieved and I'm going to file a lawsuit and make sure they can assert their rights.
Wait, but he knew already that the rules had changed and he bought the stock anyway. And now he's kvetching?
Well, you know, that's the legal system. Much as I like Bruce personally, I have no sympathy for him or any of the big hedge types who came in after the rules change trying to reverse the policy and all of that. I have a certain sympathy for the people who bought when the stuff was little old lady stock, as they used to call it. If there was some way of taking care of the little old ladies and not taking care of Bruce, I'd vote for that in a minute, but I don't think there is.
And you're calling this to our attention because there is now a campaign to perhaps change the rules again, a campaign that might, in fact, help some of those big players who came in.
There's all of this stuff. There's lobbying to keep Fannie and Freddie and reorganize them in now, unfortunately, American fashion. The people funding these campaigns generally don't come out and say who they are. So you have to look at the thing on its merits, not on the basis of its PR. And I suspect in the end, this thing will be settled in the court, and I don't know how the litigation will come out.
It'll be interesting to watch. Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large at Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And the biggest market for wine in the world is no longer France, but the United States. Given that the U.S. has a population nearly five times larger than France's, it's notable that consumption was so close. And Fund With Numbers continued, the country with the highest per capita wine consumption. According to the Wine Institute, it's the Vatican. That statistical result may be influenced by the population, just 840 people there, and the fact that they use a lot of wine in that city-state's dominant business. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.